Welcome to another episode of Silence Broken. I'm Bob Perot, and joined as always by Lanark County Interval House Executive Director Aaron Lee. Welcome, Aaron.
Happy to be with you today, Bob, from Toronto.
There we go. And we'll find out what you're doing in Toronto in just a moment. But for anyone who doesn't know, this podcast works to keep IPV, intimate partner violence awareness, in the public eye. So basically, we don't want to just have a news release of another incident and crime taking place, and then that's the only way it gets any sort of voice. This provides that type of voice. Aaron, you've lined up a stellar guest for today. Can you please tell us about her?
Yes, I'm happy to. I'm in Toronto at the Family Court Support Gathering this week, and I'm very, very happy to invite and welcome Emily Murray, who is the legal director of Luke's Place. Emily, I'm grateful that you could make some time to join us today. I understand this is the 13th gathering of the Family Co Court Support Workers of Luke's Place. Could you maybe just give our listeners a sense of what is Luke's Place and what is the Family Court Support Program all about?
Absolutely. And thanks so much for having me. So Luke's Place is an organization that provides family law support and services to survivors of intimate partner violence who may be navigating family court. So we came to be over 20 years ago, and there was a critical gap when it came to survivors trying to navigate and make sense of complicated family laws and secure court orders that would keep themselves and their children safe. So many years ago, we developed a service delivery model where we had non-lawyers, but support workers working with survivors. And often, those survivors at that time, many of them did have access to a lawyer. That is no longer the case in many of the cases that we're involved in. But support workers provide an absolutely critical resource to survivors. So the Family Court Support Worker Program was developed. I think it was back in 2011. And so, what a family court support worker does is they provide that emotional support. They have expertise on intimate partner violence. They understand family law. They can be a source of legal information to women. They can attend court with women and be that emotional support and resource for them there. They can safety plan with women. They can help women gather evidence that their lawyer may be asking for, or in some cases, if they don't have a lawyer, they can help women to understand what evidence you may need and think about different sources of it. And for a lot of the women that we're talking to, even giving them the tools and the language to start to speak about their experiences. For a lot of the women who come to us, they don't necessarily know that what they've experienced is violence and that the court is going to care about that. So, family court support workers can provide access to that information. And we're also very connected to other community supports and programs. So, our family court support workers can then connect women to other resources in her community that may be able to provide some support.
That
So
was.
it's a critical program. And what we're doing today and why Erin is in Toronto is because Erin is going to be presenting to family court support workers tomorrow. But once a year, we bring all family court support workers from across Ontario together for 2 days of learning and collaboration. We can all come together. So there are about, gosh, 70 family court support workers across the province. It's not enough, but it's what we have. And we come together for these 2 days. We have learning opportunities about family law, family court processes, because those are always changing. We learn about tools and resources to help better provide support to survivors through the system. It's just a great opportunity for everyone to be able to connect and then take what they've learned and bring it back to their own community, and then to allow people to sort of make some connections and build relationships to one another because the work is hard. You're supporting survivors through a system that is very challenging.
I was curious, have you found that since the inquest into ending intimate partner violence in Renfrew County released their 86 recommendations, have you found that the communication between different organizations has improved? Because that was one of the main issues that they brought up several times, was that you wanted to have everybody on the same page. And it sounds like your organization would be a vital component to helping the victim.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of community collaboration, lots of support. And our organization, we provide services across Ontario, but we're located in Durham Region, which has made the declaration. So that's been really impactful to see. And I think since the inquest in particular, and I've been with Luke's Place now for 3.5 years, but in the last 2 years, we have been invited to so many events going on in the community, conversations, roundtables, discussions to bring us all together, share our perspectives of what's going on for the women that we're working with, and how we can all come together to provide better support. So those were conversations that it seems like they're taking place more often now than they were before, and it's incredibly important.
I think it's really important to recognize that Luke's Place has an opportunity to have the pulse, right? They have the pulse on what the trends are, what the experiences are of immigrant women, indigenous women, rural women, urban women, because there are family support workers across Ontario. And because Emily and the agency are leading that, they're communicating and sharing resources through their website and ongoing kind of opportunities to learn from each other. And they have a portal of training and resources that people are able to access. And we've been involved with Luke's Place in our community for many, many years. And we have a family court support worker who is here today. And we are really, really grateful to the opportunity that we've had to grow this program in our community, because it doesn't matter if you're rural, if you're urban, or what particular population you're serving, this program applies to all of those particular communities of people. And it's very exciting to have someone like Emily, who's speaking to us today, and have our listeners have a little bit of insight into just the array of tools that Luke's Place has. And since the inquest, Luke's Place has continued to make sure to be a host of a home and their website for information that will help people find the 86 recommendations, find out some of the tools that are being created. Luke's Place is a host in our community of doing that. So, Emily, what do you think the pulse is in terms of where we are currently? I'm sure you know that last week we received some announcements related to family court support programs. What is your sense of the evolution of this program and where we're headed?
I think, unfortunately, since the program was first developed many years ago, it didn't really receive a lot of attention. People weren't really talking about it. People didn't know that it existed. I think finally, it's a very happy announcement that the provincial government has recognized the value of this program and is going to be putting some more money into the program. I think that's incredibly powerful and important, and many organizations have been asking for that for a number of years. We need more family court support workers, certainly not less. So I think that that's really important. I'm starting to hear more about family court support workers when I tune in to professional development opportunities for the bar. So I was just attending a family law conference yesterday, and one of the judges on a panel discussion brought up the importance of the family court support worker program. So I think that that's incredible. And I think the inquest recommendations themselves speak to the importance of the program because it's calling for something similar to be created in the criminal justice system as well.
What kind of training is involved? Is there certification, or, I'm sure it's like most things in this conversation, a work in progress with a lot of moving parts.
Absolutely, it is. And so, our organization, since the very beginning of this program, we have been tasked with providing ongoing training to all family court support workers across the province. And so, the conference that we're having today and tomorrow is part of that training program. But as Aaron mentioned, we also have this online resource space where we're constantly posting new information, changes in court forms, court processes, updates about what's going on in the law that we want to make sure family court support workers are aware of. There's a space for workers to be able to engage with us by asking questions in a forum space. We also have started hosting office hours for family court support workers so that they can drop in and talk to a family law lawyer and get some legal information. We regularly have webinars and we do try to provide a lot of training as much as we can. We have a 2-day new worker training program. So if you're very new to delivering family court support services, you come to a 2-day intensive program and you get sort of the family law 101 and how to do this work. I will say, there's no degree in this. It's hard. So people coming into it, if you're a new family court support worker, you may have supported women, you know, you could be a worker from a local shelter, but this is your first time in the role as a family court support worker, and it's a huge learning curve to understand family law and court process. So that's where we come in to try to provide as much support as we can. And as Erin said, we try to be as collaborative as possible. So wanting to hear from family court support workers, especially on days like today where we're all together in the same space, it doesn't happen often enough, but it's an opportunity for family court support workers to tell us what they need, what's going on in their community, how can we help, what resources can we create, and that's really important.
Just before I throw it back to Aaron, I'm guessing that you support one another because it must be difficult, some of these cases over and over again. We've spoken, with first responders. I've spoken with Aaron. I know that this can weigh on people. So I'm wondering what you do for each other to help one another when you're dealing with such heavy topics, because the work you're doing is amazing.
It's really hard. I will say that one of the pillars we try to focus on in the training program is self-care, as much as we can. Self-care, community care. How do we take care of each other in this work? How do we stop the burnout? It is a hard job, and there is lots of turnover in it for that very reason. Seeing firsthand every single day the failures of the family court system for survivors is really challenging. Not being able to provide what you know your client needs is incredibly challenging. Hearing your client's stories, it's very hard. And so we do whatever we can to provide, tools and resources to help people take care of themselves in the work. But vicarious trauma is huge. And it is a really, really real thing, and something that does result in quite a lot of turnover in the sector.
It must be back to me for my last statement of the show. And I would just like to thank Emily for coming on and coming on right off of a very busy day one of the gathering. I think, as I often say, it is important for us as organizations, as community members, as listeners, as media response folks, it's important to lean in. It's important to lean in on each other and know that each other's got each other's back, and that we can have these very difficult conversations. We can talk about really exciting, expansive programs. We can recognize that the work is hard, and that, one day your family court support worker is right on the money, and the next day she looks really sad. It does weigh on us, and we do have to practice that compassion fatigue. We have to take breaks, and we have to lean on each other, and we have to talk about what's going on, which is part of the process that we encourage all survivors to do, is to heal, to pay attention, to listen to oneself, and to make decisions with intention. So I thank you, Emily, for your wisdom and your insight, and I wish you a great rest of the gathering. And I am forever grateful to my friend Bob Perot and to my FM for continuing to bring these issues out in our community week after week. So thanks, Bob.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome, Emily, and I wanted to thank you and everyone that you work with for the work that you do. It is such an incredible task. It's a very difficult one, and we need people like you to help. So thank you very much for that, and we'd love to have you back anytime.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You're very welcome. This is another edition of Silence Broken here on LanarkLeadsToday.ca. You can hear a promo. In case you were wondering what's coming up on the show, you can hear it every Friday in the news on WOW FM 92.3 in Smiths Falls, and of course 88.1 MyFM. For Aaron Lee, I'm Bob Perot.